We're in Ephesians. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, of course, we're going to be putting the scriptures up. I think this is the fourth or the fifth Sunday we're going through the Bible study on Ephesians. I don't know when we'll get through. We'll get through, I guess, when the Lord tells us we're through, okay? We're in Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to begin reading with verse 17. We're going to try to finish. I know we talked about some of these things last Sunday, and we're going to try to finish this chapter 1 today and then get into chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul's praying for all of the Christians at Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. Through the word of God, the Lord Jesus prayed for us. Paul prayed for us. There's many of the apostles and the Lord's Paul. Many people prayed for us, prayed for you. Maybe not by name, but they prayed for all of us. Amen? Aren't you glad? I didn't like it when I first went into the service that I was chosen to go to be the chaplain representative to of our group of 120 people. To be the chaplain, that embarrassed me really bad. My mom later told me that she said, if God would give me a little boy, I would give him to you. So that's what she prayed for, and that's what she got. So I was, I belonged to him, I guess, before I was ever born. But I had to make a choice. And sure, our first 17, 18 years, I sure didn't live like it, let me tell you for sure. But he got a hold of me, amen, because people prayed. So we like it, the fact that people prays for us. That the Lord Jesus prayed for us, that he died for us, that he remembered us when he was going through his suffering. The cross didn't take his life. I said the cross didn't take his life. If you read the Bible, he dismissed his spirit. He died because he dismissed his spirit, not because of the cross. So with that in mind, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the prayer is for all of us, as well as the church at Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, everybody say me. He's talking to me, we, you, us, if we're believers. Given to us what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and the knowledge of him, the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to speak to you on the subject this morning of being enlightened and what being enlightened means as far as God is concerned and as far as his word and his scriptures are concerned, to be enlightened. We all need to be enlightened, and we have to some degree, but we need to have our spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him opened up to us so that we can begin to understand exactly who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, and how we're supposed to live and what he can do in us if we allow him to entrust him. Verse 18, again, he says specifically that not only in verse 17 would have the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Everybody say knowledge. That means understanding. And it's the knowledge of him, not of church or religion or some denomination. It's a knowledge of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to know him. And also, verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding, that is, our spiritual eyes, the mind, will have some understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means to be illuminated. That means to have knowledge, to have understanding. So what? So that you, those of us who have been enlightened, by the Lord Jesus Christ and want to have a relationship with Him and come to know Him in a better way and have our eyes, our understanding enlightened so that we can have a deeper relationship with Him. How many of you enjoy a real fellowship and a relationship? Well, you don't need to raise your hand. But anyway, I just hope you do. That you enjoy that relationship and that fellowship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a relationship and it is a fellowship. And also, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to grow in that understanding. As I think I said last Sunday, or I've said several times in this church, when you first got married, husbands and wives, you knew something about each other, but you didn't really know everything about each other. You didn't have all the knowledge and understanding of that person that we married, right? I'm including myself in this. And as we grew in our relationship and in our knowledge of each other, we found out that there may be a lot of things that we enjoyed and that we liked in our relationship about that person whom we married, but we may also find out there's a few things we didn't like too much. Right? So that's what we're talking about in our relationship with the Lord. There is a growing, there is a development, there's an enlightenment. So what? That we may know some things. What does He want us to know? He wants us to know, first of all, what is the hope of His calling? So you're enlightened we're enlightened as believers. We're enlightened. We come to an understanding. We have a better understanding. We have some knowledge. We have some illumination of what it means to be called by God and what it means to have hope. So that we have hope now. There's a lot of people that see loved ones, family members, and some of them even themselves go to the deathbed and slip out into eternity and they don't have any hope. As far as they're concerned, that's the end of it. As far as God is concerned, if we're Christians, that's not the end of it. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Can somebody say amen? So that's our hope. That's our blessed hope that we have. And it's not our hope because we've done something for it to earn it or to deserve it. It's our hope because He did something for us. Amen? He died for us. He bore your sins in His body on the cross. He spilled His blood for you so that you might have this hope of eternal life, that you might have this. We might have and enjoy this hope that we know that this is not the end. One of these days, you know, the Lord, maybe if the Lord doesn't come take us out of here first, my body will probably be laying in a casket right here at this church, and somebody, probably Brother Scott, will be preaching my funeral. But I want you to know right now, that's not me laying there. Like the Bible says, this is just the tent that I'm living in. I told someone yesterday, we're spirit beings. We live in a physical body, and the reason we do that is so people can see us. Otherwise, if we were just in the spiritual realm, nobody would be able to see us, right? Are you with me this morning? So as the body without the spirit is dead, the Bible says, I think it's in James chapter 4, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So if you have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have that hope and He's living in us, then He's going to be working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and He needs our cooperation in order for Him to do that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it says in Philippians, I think, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Verse 13 says, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I think it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, He that has begun, this is a good verse. I read this the other morning. I just started rejoicing. think it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he that has begun a good work in you, that's Jesus, God's Son, his Holy Spirit, who has begun a good work in you, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, he's begun a good work in you. And the Bible says there in that verse that he will complete it. He will finish it. Can somebody say amen? In other words, if he's begun a good work in me, and I've been saved and you have, then he's going to finish that good work in you. Amen? And it would be happy if you had that hope right now. So the hope of his calling, what else does he want you to know? That your eyes would be enlightened, that you would be illuminated and have some understanding. Enlightened means to give, in the original language, Greek, to give light. It means to be endued with a saving knowledge of the gospel. It's applied in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, for example. It says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened," there's that word, illuminated, enlightened, "and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost." That's, you were endued, you were illuminated, you were enlightened. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, there's three places, and I just read one where it talks about enlightenment. Here's the other two, Hebrews 6, 4 and Hebrews 10, 32. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated," after you were enlightened and you had been given this hope and this understanding about your relationship with the Lord, you endured a great fight of afflictions. We fight as Christians and as believers, not so much when we first believe, but to some degree we do. We don't really get into it a lot until we've grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a point. But when we're illuminated, the enemy comes and tries to fight against us in our minds and tell us that we're not God's children, and we do this and we do that and we do wrong things. How many of you sinned after you got saved? Amen. We all get in the flesh. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, and these are contrary one to the other. So we have a spiritual warfare that's going on, and this is what it's telling us here also. You endured a great fight of afflictions. And back in those days, a lot of Christians in those areas were persecuted and put to death, but on the cross and beaten and so forth, because they had a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed he was the Lord, the Savior. "So that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Also that you may know the riches." Everybody say riches. "Of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." What it may, that you may understand and begin to understand what it means to have the riches of his glory. Because whenever you become a Christian, God translates us out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And there should be an inner glow in our spirits about us, so that people will understand and know that, hey, you're different from what you used to be. The person that I ran around with when I was young, he was a couple of years older than me. And we did some crazy, crazy things. Wild things. Ungodly things. And when I started pastoring this church, we started this church, I think, in 1979. Someone told him, "Lewis Cowan is pastoring the church here in Ingleside," and he liked to fainted. He said, "Lewis Cowan is pastoring a church here?" And they said, yeah. He said, I have got to go hear him. And he came, he and his wife left their church, joined our church, became our secretary treasurer here for years. Had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he had the hope, and he also had the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints in him. And he knew he had changed, and I knew he'd changed, and everybody around knew both of us had changed, because those that knew us before couldn't understand why either one of us ever loved the Lord and were saved. So God wants us to know not only the hope of His calling, but He also wants us to know what is the riches of His glory and of His inheritance in the saints. How many of you know you realize that you're a saint? That's what I thought. Every person that's been born again by the Spirit of God is a saint. What does that mean? That you wear a robe and you run around in some preacher's clothes or minister's clothes or whatever it means. It means, saint means to be sanctified. So this is a part of the glory of His riches, to understand that when you were saved, you were sanctified. But of Him, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 2, verse 30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, of Him are you, those of us that have been saved, in Christ Jesus, who of God, Jesus Christ is of God. He has made us in Christ, are made righteousness and holiness and justified and sanctified. Amen? So what does the word sanctified mean? It just means when you came and called on the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, I put my trust in you, Lord, that you took my sins in your body on the cross and you shed your blood for me, and I invite you to come into my heart so I can be saved. At that very moment, you were sanctified. You didn't sanctify yourself. You didn't save yourself. He sanctified you. Well, what does it mean? It means you were set apart for the service of God. That your body become a habitation of God through the Spirit. Your body became a habitation of God through the Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? That's who you are. And being that, you are sanctified. You've been set apart for the Lord. That just means you. That's what has happened to you. It doesn't mean you're good or you're perfect or whatever. It just means that He sets you apart for Himself. He sets you apart so He can bless you and strengthen you and encourage you and help you and work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? And He wants you to understand that He wants us all to understand that so that we can cooperate with Him and understand that we are now His property. We belong to Him because we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Amen? Wow. I don't know how many of y'all are getting excited about this. I get excited about it. So we're enlightened so that we can know what is the hope of His calling. Also, we can know what is the riches of His glory in us, in the saints. Verse 19. Also, we can know what is the exceeding. Everybody say exceeding. That means great. That means mighty. That means power. Powerful. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. How many of you believe? If you believe, you know you believed. And you put your trust in Him. So He's saying to you that have believed, to you that have the hope, you also need to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So I've heard a lot of people say, especially religious people, They get religion. They try to keep the Ten Commandments. They try to do better and try to live a better life, and that's a good thing, but that doesn't save them. We're not saved by works. The Bible says that God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, He saved us. So we're not saved by good works. Good works are the evidence of the fact that we are saved, that we have been saved by the grace of God. Amen? And that was by His power, and it's also by the working of His mighty power. And how great was this power? Well, He lets us know that in verse 20. He demonstrated His mighty power to the whole world that was alive at that time and to us who believe, which He wrought in Christ, His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Wow. How many of you are in Christ as being saved? Amen. Then while you're in this earthly body in the spiritual realm, and while your body is a habitation of God through the Spirit, also in the spiritual realm, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're already there. You just don't know it yet. But when we pass away and our spirits leave this body, the only thing the Bible says, for as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when our spirit leaves this body, you're not a body. You're not who people see right now. You're a spirit, and you live in this body, so people can understand who you are, know something about you, and so you can see yourself in the mirror, all right? You're a spirit being. When the spirit leaves the body, it goes to be with God. If you're a Christian. If you're a non-Christian, it goes off into a place of darkness until the last judgment, when you stand before the judgment bar of God and are judged basically on your decision that you either made or you refused to make. In this case, you refused to make to receive Christ as your Savior. But if you did receive Christ as your Savior, then His power is working in you who believe, to the working of His mighty power. And it's the same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. As a matter of fact, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we also, the Bible says, in Adam we all die. 1 Corinthians 15, I think it is. In Adam we all die, a couple of places in the Bible. So we're all born into this world, but when we're born into this world, we're born spiritually dead. That doesn't mean we don't exist as a spirit. That just means our spirit is separated from God. Death means to be separated from God. And so all of us who are born of Adam, we're born into death. That's the reason why Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And he said, well, what in the world does that mean? How can I be born again? He said, you can be born through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're born again by the Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's called the second. That's why He's called the last Adam or the second Adam in the Bible. That's God's plan. We all died in the first Adam. We all live in the second Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So He's set in the heavenly places. So we're seated with Him. Verse 21, for above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in also in that which is to come. So that means that right now, if the enemy is giving you a hard time because of the lack of spiritual growth or spiritual understanding, and that's why I want you to be, and the Bible wants us all to be enlightened and be illuminated and understand who we are in Christ, because He wants us to know that the enemy has no longer any control over us in this world. As a matter of fact, He says we have control over the enemy. Amen? Because we're in the kingdom of God and the power of God's in us and we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Now, my goodness, I don't want to get too much off in a whole lot of this, but most everybody that's been in this world long, any time longer has understand that they understand witchcraft. They know about witches. They know about warlocks. They know about demons. I've had people, because they didn't love me, that belonged to witches' colonies and groups of witches have sent people, sent demons to my house. And because I'm spiritual and because I've grown and know something about the Word of God and because I've gotten into the Word of God and know how to use the Spirit of God and know how to use the shield of faith, which all comes from knowing the Word and hearing the Word of God. You want to know what the sword of the Spirit is? Get the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. How did Jesus resist the devil? With the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. How did he resist in faith? With the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Are you with me this morning? That's why the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you may grow thereby. We need to understand how to use the sword of the Spirit and how to use the shield of faith. So, when I woke up in the morning and found out I had a demon or demons in my house, I just said, and I sense that because God allows me to, or sense demons in other people if they want, if they don't want the demons to leave, the demons won't go. But if they're rebuked in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you speak the word to them in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit of God which is working in you and you say, get out of them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out, boy, they're gone. And so when I've gotten up in my home and realized that there were a demons or a demon in my house that somebody sent there, I just tell them, be gone from this place right now in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. Get out of here. Amen? We don't have to put up with that. Most people don't even know that they have a demon in their house. Even a lot of so-called Christians. They don't know how to do spiritual warfare because they hadn't gotten in the Word. They don't grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't grow in the Word and they don't get the Spirit and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. So he's raised Jesus up above all principalities and powers and might, verse 21, and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet to give him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen? What is the church? It's the body of Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So whenever you're baptized into the body of Christ, as you're born again by the Spirit of God, then you become the church. You become his bride, the church. And you're part of the body of Christ. You are the church. We only have one church in this whole world. We call them Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Pentecostal, Semi-God, whatever we call them. There's probably Christians in every one of them, but if they're Christians, they're not just a member of a local church, they're a member of the body of Christ. They are the church. Their body is the habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you understand? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That'd make a dead man stand up and shout. Amen? Well, you say, preacher, how do you know that? Because I was a dead man and I did stand up and shout. Amen. And I'm still shouting. Praise God. Let's everybody stand. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time. We have food in the back, and there's plenty for everyone. If there's not, we'll go get some more. There's always food. Amen? Anybody hungry? There's plenty of food back there, and a lot of people have brought it, and we bought some, and just different things. So I want you to enjoy yourself, have some fellowship, eat something before you leave. Don't go out and buy something. You have some food right back here. It's free. And it's good food. Amen? Not because I cooked it, because I'm not much of a cook. You wouldn't want to eat anything except maybe a fried egg. That's about all I can do. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving and caring for us and supplying our needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. God bless. Next Sunday is Easter. Come back.